Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio's Unveiling the Mysteries of the Bible. This program is brought to you live by the JC Overcomers Ministries out of Nebraska City, Nebraska. I'm your hostess, Cheryl Fisher. My co-hostess is Lily from Texas. Hopefully she'll be joining us shortly. She also will be starting a program on Blog Talk Radio before long. Her name on Blog Talk is Sarah Lee, 144. You're welcome to join us here regularly every Thursday night at midnight. Tonight's program is a spur-of-the-moment program that the Lord has put on my heart. And he's put it pretty heavy, so I'm in obedience tonight. Praise God. Thank you. Rando is here, too. Praise God for all of you. I'm glad you're here. Hopefully, you're going to get something from the Lord tonight, because the topic tonight is, are you one of the chosen, God's chosen? And so, hopefully, through this, you're going to find out whether you are or not, or whether you can be. Okay, before we get started, though, I want to pray. Lord, I want to thank you for every person that you're putting it on their hearts to come and hear your word tonight. Lord, I ask you to guide every single word that comes through these lips tonight, that this program and these words will glorify you in some way, Lord, and that they will lift up the body of Jesus Christ closer and closer to you. And that the words that I speak will edify your body and only the ones, Lord, I want to edify every ear that hears my voice tonight. Lord, I ask you to let those words edify their hearts and their minds in Jesus' name. I want to start this out with the Lord's Prayer, because I believe in lifting up the word of the Lord as an offering to him as our intercessor. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us all debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Just guide me tonight, Lord. I ask you to go out, and I ask you to bring in tonight whoever you want to hear this message, Lord. And I ask you, Lord, to open up hearts and minds for the message that you have put on my heart tonight. I want to welcome everybody here. We're going to start this out in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26. Have you been chosen by the Lord, God Almighty, to carry His name into all the world? I hope that somehow through this study, you will find and see your calling just a little bit better. 1 Corinthians 1:26. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen. Let's look at that again. Notice it says that not many wise men after the flesh. That's because men can be wise in their own eyes, but they can be deaf to the Spirit of God and not have the Spirit of wisdom that comes from above. We can have what we think is wisdom, but in fact, it's just our flesh that's given us that wisdom instead of actually hearing it from the voice of God. Notice it says, not many mighty, not many noble. What comes to mind when you think of noble? People that sit on thrones, kings, presidents, rulers. It doesn't look like many of them are called, because that's what the Word of God says. Not many noble, not many mighty. Because if we're mighty in our own strength, then why would we need God? We become mighty. We can become strong through Him. He doesn't need our strength. He gives us His own. Verse 27, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world. If the world thinks that we're foolish, chances are God is looking on us as one of the possible chosen. Because it says, foolish things of the world. And He does this. Look at the next part of that verse. He hath chosen the foolish things of the world for a reason, it says, to confound the wise. He picks up the foolish that the world has beat down. It's like you go into a home where kids would be that might be called retarded or autistic or some of the other things that the world would look down on them. Well, believe it or not, some of those are going to be God's very chosen that He is going to lift up above all those that have been putting them down, that have made fun of them their whole lives, those may be on His throne one day. So maybe we better be careful in how we look at them, huh? It says, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. That wise is the wisdom of the world. And it says, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. That mighty is the mighty strength of the world's strength, not God's strength. So if we're weak to our flesh, then God can use us, because we're not depending on our flesh. We are only depending on Him. the weak things of the world, to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen. Next time we look at somebody that's always been picked on in school, that's always been beat down by other people, that other people look down upon, believe it or not, chances are those are the ones that God is going to choose, and he's going to lift them up. Again, I want to thank End Time is here. Spirit Fire Randall is here. Sarah and Revival Fire and Bams is here, and Tara Razor, and there's a guest 7403 and Army Girl. I want to thank each and every one of you for being here. I hope you get something out of this message. I see my co-host is on, so I better let her on. Hi, Lee, are you there?
Hi, yeah, I'm here.
Praise God. This is kind of an extension of the Bible study we were doing earlier and what God put on my heart.
Okay.
You were there, so you kind of know where we're headed.
Yeah, why?
Praise God.
There is so much to say in such short time, you know, really.
Amen.
We need to be talking every day.
Amen. Okay, verse 28 says, and this is, again, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 28 says, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. When we get out of the way, that is when God will pick us up and use us. If we are not depending on our flesh, but we are leaning on him alone, that is when he can use us. Let's see. I kind of lost my place. That no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. God replaces our weak flesh with his power and his might and his strength and his wisdom and his righteousness. But it's only when we let go of ourselves. Verse 31, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Now we're going to go to James 2, verse 5. If we say that we have done this or we have done that, when the Spirit of God is actually doing it through us, who are we giving the glory to? Are we giving it to us, or are we giving it to him? James 2, verse 5. Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor, rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? The poor of this world that are rich in faith, they believe God. They believe what God says. They hang on to him. They trust in him alone. They are rich in faith. That's where the treasure is. It's in him. It's believing what he tells us is true. They are the heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him. Because if we really love him, we'll believe what he tells us. From these scriptures, we start to see a picture how God chooses the foolish, the unlearned, the weak, the peasants, the poor, and the ones that are despised. When God uses you to do something that was impossible for you to do on your own, you know he's the one that did it, and not us. That eliminates the chances that we could say it was of us. Because if we're weak enough that we depend on him for our very breath, we know where that breath comes from. One of the people that used to come to Bible study here told of an experience they had where a tractor fell over on top of them. And at that point, they knew they were trapped. They knew no one else was around. And they knew that there was only one hope of them getting out from underneath of that tractor. And what happened with this man? God told him to kick. Because he believed that God could make this tractor move if he obeyed his voice, he kicked. And that tractor moved out from over the top of him, and he got out from underneath of it. There are times when we might be too weak to even get to the front of the church to pray over somebody. But God says when we are weak, he is strong. And when we do obey, that we know that someone needs a touch from God, even though it takes everything that we have to get there to him or her to lay hands on them, when we touch them many times, as we lay our hands on them, the power of God will flow through us to them. And as they are getting strengthened or they are getting filled with whatever they need, we also are picking up some of that river of life. And so we get strengthened as we do it. In our weakness, we become strong because it's him. It's not us. We didn't heal them. We didn't do anything. All we did was walk when he told us to walk. All we did was touch them when he told us to touch them. All we did was care when he wanted us to love them. Even if it costs us something, that's when God will use us even more. Okay, I've got some notes here, so I got to find my place. Sorry.
By the way, I'm going to be on the radio Friday night at 10 o'clock.
What's that?
With Thurston. I'm going to be on the radio Friday night with Thurston.
Is he going to do a program on here?
Yeah, but I'm trying to see if I can learn how to do Audacity. He's going to record it because he's in Costa Rica.
He's going to be on Blog Talk?
We're trying to get it worked out. Huh?
He's going to be on Blog Talk? On Bring the Revival.
Well, I'll tell you about it later. I just wanted you to know I just got it set up. Really don't even
well,
have
cool.
it set up good right now.
Cool. Okay. Let me look see where I'm at here.
Okay.
Let's see. Oh, a lot of times when I'll be putting the studies together that you'll hear on this program, the things that I try to teach on here, let me make you understand, they're not mine in any way, shape, or form. I'll sit down at the computer and I just learned how to just listen to his voice and put down what he gives me to put down because of the illness that I have. I can't remember from one sentence to the next a lot of times. And so it gets me out of the way completely. I might have a thought of where the Lord wants to go, you know, the type of teaching, you know, like being one of the chosen. And I'll sit down at the typewriter and he'll just start giving me scriptures. And so I'll put them in and then he'll put some thoughts in my head. And so I'll jot them down and I try to keep my flesh from getting in there, but a lot of times it gets in there anyway. But, when I do that, he'll give me the scriptures, and he'll lay out the whole teaching. And then I go back and read it, and then I learn. Because I didn't have a clue to begin with what he was doing. And so the teachings that you hear on here, they came from him. They didn't come from me. I had nothing to do with it. He had to actually remove part of my brain in order for me to be used. That's that's how bad it had to get for me. I had to get out of the way because I had too much intelligence before, and I wouldn't allow him in. So he literally removed part of my brain in order for me to allow him in. And that's another story. We'll we'll get to that one another time.
Needs to have that done.
What's that?
Dan needs to have that done.
I'm sorry. I couldn't hear you, hon.
I'm sorry. I'm going to have to shut up.
Are you being sarcastic?
Yes, ma'am. Sorry.
That's okay.
I repent.
Okay. Good. We need to repent. All right. Let's see what else I got in my notes. I'm just trying to wing it here. Oh, let's see. Well, there was a time the people in the church told me that I was being healed. And they told me that they wanted to pray for me to be healed. And when they prayed for me, I really literally thought I was being healed. And so I went back in the prayer room to let the Lord finish what he was doing because I could feel, you know, the Spirit of the Lord all over me. And I wasn't about to interrupt it. And so after everybody else left, I stayed there at the church and allowed him to do what he was doing. Well, a song came out of my lips, and it was a song in another voice, in another, not another voice, another language that I had never heard before. And in order to understand what this meant to me, I can't repeat the words of the song very easy because my brain function's kind of messed up because of the illness. And I'm not glorifying the illness. I'm glorifying God through it. Because without the illness, God wouldn't be able to do the things that he can do anything. But it allowed me to see a lot more of the power of God. He was able to use me because I was out of the way. Anyway, because of that, I can't repeat words in a song. I have a real hard time worshiping my Lord with songs because I can't remember the words. But anyways, the song that came to me was in another language, and it was on me for like 3 days, and the words kept repeating, and it's impossible. You know, when this happened, it was absolutely impossible for me to be able to do it. So I knew that all the glory, it was God. I knew it was impossible for me to be able to do it. So God got the glory. And that's when he wants to use us. When we can't do it, when the doctors have given up on somebody being healed, the chances are that if they have the faith, and it's not necessarily just because they have the faith, if it's God's will at that time, but that is when God a lot of times heals people. It's when those people and everybody else has given up that they know that there's only one way it's going to happen, and that is through God. That is when he will move on somebody because then nobody else can possibly get the glory. Science can't get the glory. Nobody else can but God. So we know beyond any shadow of a doubt then that God's the one that did it. Okay. There was I think this is the next one. Yep. The next story I want to tell you about is a young man that came to Bible study here at my home one time. He told how he was so beat down in his life. His girlfriend and child, I think it was, got killed. They got shot in an attack. And he was so miserable that he decided to commit suicide. And he held a gun up to his head. And he pulled the trigger. And the gun wouldn't go off. And he walks away thinking, I can't even do this right. And he leaves the room. No sooner did he leave the room than that gun went off. There was a police officer that checked that gun and fired it, I think it was thousands of rounds. And that gun never misfired, even once. That man knows now that God is the one that kept him. No one else did it, but God alone. So God is the one that gets the glory. He can even keep a gun from going off after you pulled the trigger and make it go off after you leave the room. There was another man that I know of that the Lord just brought to mind that also had a gun and was going to kill himself. And as he put the gun to his head and went to pull the trigger, he had a stroke. And he couldn't kill himself because he couldn't pull the trigger. That was the mercy of God. If at that point you can't deny that there is God and that he has a calling on your life, let me ask you, have you ever had anything like that happen? I know Randall had cancer and he was healed of it. And he knows that only God did that. And I'll bet that just about everybody in this room tonight has had things that they know that God kept them when it was impossible for them to stay alive otherwise. And after I'm done with this, if we have enough time, I'd sure like to hear some of those testimonies. Okay, now we're going to go to Exodus 12, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goat. Verse 7, and they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper doorpost of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Verse 11, and thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. That staff, by the way, represents the word of God. And ye shall eat it in haste. And that lamb that they ate, that they consumed, they had to eat the flesh. We are told to eat the flesh of the Lamb of God, which is his word. Ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. We have the blood of the Lamb of God on our doorposts, of our heart. And we eat his flesh by consuming his word. And when the final Passover comes, God will see the blood on our hearts, and he'll see the word of God written in our hearts and our minds. And the death angel will no longer have a hold on us, just like the death angel could not take those that had consumed that lamb in Israel or in Egypt and that had put the blood on their doors. You see, it's patterns, types, and shadows. God has his word perfect all the way through. Those patterns are there. Let's see. Verse 12, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt while I execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses. We are the house of the Lord now, upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. We will be here when God comes back again and smites the land of Egypt, spiritual Egypt. But we will be protected if we have the blood of the Lamb on our hearts and in our minds, and His Word written in our hearts and our minds. Verse 51. And it came to pass the selfsame day that the Lord did bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt by their armies. This goes on into the next chapter, which is chapter 13, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, sanctify unto me all the firstborn. Whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and of beast, it is mine. God laid claim to them that day because they lived because of His sacrifice. The blood saved their lives. Without the blood and consumption of the lamb, they would have been destroyed along with the Egyptian firstborn. They at that point were bought and paid for by God Himself. He showed them that they had no right to their lives any longer, because they would have been dead if He had not made provision for their lives. And so He claimed right to them. Verse 12, that thou shalt set apart unto the Lord all that openeth the matrix, and every firstling that cometh of a beast which thou hast. The male shall be the Lord's. Numbers 3, verse 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, and I, behold, I have taken the Levites from among the children of Israel instead of all the firstborn that openeth the matrix among the children of Israel. Therefore the Levites shall be mine, because all the firstborn are mine. For on the day that I smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I hallowed unto me all the firstborn in Israel, both man and beast. Mine shall they be. I am the Lord. If you notice, when you read these scriptures, no one ever argued the fact that the firstborn were His, because they knew if He had not saved them, they would have been dead anyway. When God saves someone's life, He has every right to claim them for the remainder of their life. He did that with me. He showed me that I had died over and over again. He was the one that was keeping me alive way beyond any possibility of surviving naturally. As He showed me that, He showed me any claim I had to my life or anything of my life was gone. I had already used up my life the way I wanted to, but now I didn't have any right to that life. These other people that God kept alive, every time God keeps one of us alive, we owe Him. We are indebted to Him. Believe it or not, if we are alive beyond what we should have been, every breath we take belongs to Him. We have no right to anything that we own. It's all His. We have no right to our families or anything else. Every minute of every day is His. It's not ours anymore. It's all His. I used to think that I was following Him. I used to think that I was a servant of His. I thought my heart was where it was supposed to be until that day when He showed me that. And I realized that what He was showing me was true. And so from that moment on, it changed my outlook. So if God's done that for one of you, believe it or not, there's going to come a time He's going to claim His possession, just like He did with the firstborn of the Israelites, and He traded them for the Levites. They belong to Him. They don't have no right to their lives anymore. They only belong to Him. And one day, He's going to come calling, And then we'll know for sure. No doubt anymore. When he shows you something like that, you don't argue, just like they didn't argue, because you know it's true. Everything in your life completely changes at that moment. You do not see things the same way anymore. I call this in biblical terms being a bond servant or a bond slave. I'm not sure which way it is in the Bible, whether it's the servant or the slave. I consider myself a slave to the Lord. I don't belong to no other. Before this, I would have called myself, a servant, because I was trying to serve him my way. But it was my way, not his. He changed my thought life to thinking about saving souls in a completely new way. You don't look at things the same way anymore. You just don't. And I know Randall knows what I'm talking about, because I can feel it in him. Yeah. His devotion and love for the children of God, that's what does it. We think about the souls. We don't think about ourselves and our needs anymore. It's getting people to the Lord so that they can see him. We get obsessed with it. That's all we can think about anymore, is those souls that are going to perish if somebody doesn't tell them the truth. And that's how I ended up with this program and the other ministry programs that the Lord has given me. That's part of the results of serving him that way. God will open up doors for us, people. When we turn our lives completely over to him, he will open up doors that no man can open. And he'll close doors that no one else could. Because he will direct our steps if we only let him. David was one of the chosen of God because he had a heart for God and he loved the flock. Even though he was actually over the sheep flock, but he loved the flock enough that if he saw a bear or a lion get a hold of one of the flock, he risked his very life to save them from that lion or bear's mouth. Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to give up everything, our comfort zones, in order to bring a soul to Jesus? If we see somebody preaching something that hurts somebody, does it hurt us? If we know that somebody is teaching something that's going to hurt them, that's teaching a lie or a false doctrine, does it hurt us like it hurts Jesus? How would he feel about it? How would he feel if we call somebody out and say, you have a devil, when they may be one of his chosen? Or let me give you some examples. There's been times where I've picked people up off the street and they'd be real dirty, but they wanted to come to church with me. And I'd bring them into the church because God drew them. And the people of the church would turn around and they'd look at them like they were scum. Who was the real scum? Was it the people that were brought in by the Lord? Or the people that looked down on them? I'm sorry.
You know, I have a little something to say. You want me to say it now?
Go ahead.
Okay. The friend of mine that has a homeless ministry, he was out on the streets in San Francisco. He now lives in Naples, Florida, but he was on there, and he said there was this guy out there with a sign that said something about Jesus, you know, and he just walked around with his sign, and all these homeless people were sitting on the street, and so he walked up to the guy with the sign, and he said, let me ask you something. He said, do you really love these people? And the guy didn't know what to say. You know, it's like, I'm carrying this sign, you know, for Jesus. And so the homeless people were laughing at him because, see, you can't fool them. People know when we really love them or really care. And that's what it takes. And it's like, it's hard sometimes, you know, to love the unlovely. But that's what Jesus did, like the man in the
ditch. That's right.
You know, he had the Samaritan come along and pick up that guy out of the ditch and take care of him.
Because he sees their heart. He sees how everybody else has beat them down. Look at Matthew 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him. Honey, you need to move your Bible away from your speaker, okay?
Oh, sorry.
That's okay.
It's me.
Just keep the Bible there, though.
I got it.
Okay, Matthew 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in, naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. When we look down on somebody else, what if they are one of his? And we put them down. Who are we really putting down? If they belong to him, if they are part of his body, we have just put Jesus Christ down. If we hurt one of his children, what is going to be the result done to us? We have these lambs that God draws into the church. And the people sit there like they're better than them. We don't know their hearts, but God does. If they have an evil spirit, then the love of God will push that spirit out of them. If we love them enough, leave it to God. If God does not tell you they have an evil spirit, then please don't tell them they have an evil spirit, because you are crushing them. Who has the right to do something like that to one of his? If God didn't say it, please don't do it. They may be one of his chosen. They may be one of his babies. that if you do that, it will break that vessel and crush them. When they came to you for hope, please, please, don't hurt them. If you don't know their heart, please don't talk down to them. Lift them up and comfort them, because the love of Jesus is beyond anything else. He will heal their hearts. It's not up to our flesh to condemn them. We're not supposed to judge. If we're going to judge, we need to be judging righteous judgment and nothing else. I'm sorry, I've watched the things that have been done to God's flock, and it rips my heart out. And we do it. Christians do it. And we do it to each other. We need to wait for God to tell us whether somebody has an evil spirit, and then wait for God to tell us exactly what to say to remove it. Instead of just yelling out that somebody has a devil, it's not right. What if they don't? What if the spirit is really of Jesus, and we said they had a devil? If we don't know for sure, we could be blaspheming the Holy Ghost. Please be careful. Love them. Okay, I'm about done preaching. Sorry.
You know, I have to repent on that one too. It's like,
I do it too. I do it.
When you do see somebody that does have a devil, or, you know, you're just 99% sure, you want to set them free. You want to get them free. You want, you know, but it's like I have learned, it's next to impossible to tell somebody, hey, you got to go, you need to repent, get it out. It's like, what do we do? I mean, they do need to learn, and they do need to get it out, but it's like, we're not really responsible. And for one right there, I need to learn. I need to learn how to have the wisdom to approach these people.
But if we get the Word of God in them, who's going to get rid of that devil? Is it us? No. We're not going to do nothing. Even if we say we cast this out, it's still not us doing it. It's God. It's His power that does it. It's not us. We need to wait on Him to show us when we're supposed to be doing it. That's right. Rando said Jesus is the deliverer. He's the only deliverer. I can't cast out nothing. Ever. It's His spirit, His love that's going to purge them. The truth is what sets them free. So if we give them the truth, it will convict. We don't need to do that. The truth is what will convict them. Give them the Word of God, because that is where the power is to recreate their hearts in His image. It's not us. And if we're allowing our flesh to do that, it's wrong. We've got to back up and let God have His way and leave our flesh behind. And every single one of us that I know does it, I do it. And I'm getting convicted today, okay? And that's probably one of the reasons that I'm saying this. We got to watch our tongue, because there's little baby lambs out there that have been wounded by the world, and they come to us for help. And what do? We push them right back out into that cruel world. I've seen it happen over and over and over again. They come to us and we'll hand them something that ain't even true. It's horrible. They come to the church for help. There's so many wounded out there. And if we're not going to love them, then let somebody else love them. Just get out of the way so somebody else can love them to God. So their soul will perish forever. Because if we wound one of his babies, we're going to get held responsible. Their blood is going to be on our hands. And they're getting wounded enough in the world. They don't need it from us, too. If somebody wants to call in, I would sure love to hear somebody else's voice.
Randolph has something to say.
Okay. He says, if we will just listen to God, he will tell us what we need to do in all things. Yes. Randall, you want to call in, guy? Somebody? Anybody? I don't care if you're even a harasser, call. I got enough of the love of the Lord tonight. I don't care. Hi, caller. Who we got?
Hi, how are you?
Is this Rando?
No, this is Greg.
Hi, Greg. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing well, thank you. I've been listening to you, and I agree with everything that you say, but I am one of God's chosen, and he told me to call you tonight and tell you to quit crying, to rejoice in his name and be happy and cheerful. He didn't make you timid. He made you strong and brave and powerful.
But I see your sheep all beat up.
Pardon me?
I see the sheep all beat up.
Yes, they do that, and it happens in churches all over the place, and we've got to correct that. But there's a reason for everything. Even that we don't understand, there's a reason for it, and we all have to learn from it, and you can't hold yourself completely responsible for that. So God wants you to smile and be happy and rejoice and pull people to him and quit beating yourself up and crying because he loves you.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Have a wonderful evening. Bye-bye.
All right, you too. Hi, Rando.
Hey, sis, I'm going to agree with the caller. Stop beating yourself up about this because this isn't you. We know your heart, sis. We know that you're upset about what's going on. But we got enough wisdom in the Lord that we just need to give this to Jesus. I've got complete faith that through prayer and discernment and just being prayer warriors about it and trying to walk closer to the Lord, that all these things are going to work out and come together. God is going to have his Bible Talk Radio. You know what I'm saying, sis? Now I want you to listen to me because that caller was just right. Stop taking responsibility for what other people do. You're not one voice. Now I see a lot of people in the chat room that are in agreement with you. I see a lot of people that are going to hear the archives that are going to be in agreement with you. Because what is our first law? Our law is love. The whole New Testament, the whole Old Testament, both testaments, both laws are wrapped up in one law, one word, love. Now when you get right down to it, what is love? It's Jesus Christ, incarnate. Now guys, I put it in the chat a minute ago, and I'm going to say it right now in the archives. Jesus Christ is the deliverer. I'm not saying people don't have authority to act in the name of Jesus Christ or to apply the blood of Jesus. What I am telling you is no man, no woman, nothing in this world or outside of this world has any power over any kind of demonic possessions or any kind of spiritual possessions or influences but Jesus Christ. We have no power in anything. We are shells. I'm a button pusher on Blog Talk Radio.
Amen.
We go as the Spirit moves us. Cheryl, the Spirit is all over you tonight. It's the same Spirit that was on me last night. It's the same one that passed over to Mike Revival Fire and Matthew tonight. It was on BAMS. The God will pour his Spirit out. Listen to what I'm saying, guys. The evidence of what God is involved in and what God is pleased with is how he will bless people with the anointing of his Spirit. I'm not saying that for myself. I'm saying that for God and for his glory because I'm nothing without him. Listen to me, guys. When you see the anointing, when you see a man that goes or a woman that goes from one complete subject, stop dead in their tracks like I did, like Cheryl did, like BAMS did, like Mike did, like we're doing now. It's when God puts something on their heart in such a way that they can't stop anymore. They got to stop what they're doing and let the Holy Spirit take over. I had 3 hours.
Amen. Hey, I want to jump in here real quick, Brando.
Sure.
Let me jump in real quick. If you call in, you'll be able to stay with the program. Otherwise, there's less than 5 minutes remaining. So if you want to stay with us, the number to call in is 646-478-5014. Again, that's 1-646-478-5014. Because my airtime ends at 12 o'clock.
Yeah.
So if you want to stick with us, it'll stay in the archives, but it will cut us off otherwise. So the only way you're going to be able to stay with us is to call. Okay?
It'll be
that's
the same
one
thing for you guys. It'll sound the same. Everything will work the same in the chat and everything.
Yeah.
It's just not going to be streaming. So if you want to get in on it, if you want to get in on this, and we're going to pray about this, guys. We're going to pray about it a lot if we're up till the sun comes up. We're going to pray about this tonight.
I see
it, Cheryl's in agreement with me. I think you guys are in agreement with me that this is the time right now for us to come together in intercessory prayer for what God wants to do in Blog Talk Radio. And I want to encourage you to call in, guys. You know what, guys? If you're listening to archives, you don't get a chance to call in. Let me tell you something. You will know the people of the Lord when you recognize what they're doing. They're doing things that Jesus said we should be doing in all things. And our first commission is to go out and save souls and snatch them from the fire. That's it. We're supposed to preach that gospel, that full gospel, with balance to every living creature. If you want to hear about every living creature, I'll do a show on that really soon over at my show. But this isn't about me, and it's not Cheryl or anybody else. This is about Jesus and God and his plan for this ministry, this revival that is going on Blog Talk Radio. We're not going to let the devil come between it. We're not going to let the devil bust. We're not going to let the devil bust this church up. It's not happening. God's not happy about it, and he is going to intervene really soon. Really soon. You know that, Cheryl. You've had that same word, haven't you?
Amen. I got a couple more people on here. Bams is on, and then I've got a 615 number.
Army girl, get in there.
Hi, sis. I just want to say I love you, and your message was so powerful.
I love you, too.
Amen, sister. You are right on. Preach it. Keep that fire burning.
The Lord put that on my heart tonight. I see Christians hurting one another and hurting people. You know, God draws them in, and then we hurt them and push them right back out. And all that, it hurts God's heart so much when we do that. We need to really, really be careful. Okay, this 615 number, who do we have here? Hello?
This is Greg. I'm just, hello?
Oh, you're back? Hey, praise God.
I just called in to listen. I'm trying to find scripture for you, and I can't find it because I just sent it to someone on Facebook, and my Facebook is not working. But it's exactly
okay,
what the message I was trying to give you. It's a quote from the Bible about being powerful and not timid. And your message is so right on. I wish that you could stand in my church and repeat what you just said.
Amen.
Because there are people there that need to hear it. But people are not going to take you as well if you act timid and cry. You don't need to beat yourself
up.
You can't carry this by yourself. We're all here to help you, everybody, along with God and Jesus.
Amen. Okay, why don't you give me a few words of the scripture you're talking about, and I'll see if I can find it.
My Facebook is trying to work. Let me see if I can pull it up. It says something about, I did not make you timid. I made you strong and powerful, and that's all I can remember of it.
Oh, timid and powerful, Cheryl.
What is it? What is it?
Strong and powerful.
It's powerful.
Hey, Cheryl, I think Army Girl wants to call in.
She's on.
Okay, yes.
Hello?
Hi, Army Girl.
Hi.
Hi.
I got in.
Is everybody, is everybody in the host queue that wants to be in for the show after it goes
I've
off screen?
I've only got five spaces, so if anybody else calls in, they won't be able to see us.
Well, that's okay. Maybe you can piggyback off me, guys. It's in the archives. It's in the archives. Make sure you pick up the archives because we're going to do some praying here, guys. We're going to get some answers on some
things. I want to pray for these people that enlist that way. I looked up the word strong and powerful, and I don't see those two words together. So it must be an offshoot of that.
Hold on. Let me see if
I can give me something else that you're thinking in there?
Hold on.
What else?
I'm looking.
Okay, you think you'll find it?
Well, you know what, Cheryl? Who's going to inherit the earth? The meek.
That's right. Yeah.
We got to look at what Jesus said in the Beatitudes. You know, blessed are the poor. You know.
Yeah.
You know, we're everybody that humility in the Lord. Let me stop this stream because that's going to drive me crazy. Okay, everybody else, stop their stream.
Yeah. Hey, Do we still have time?
We're still on.
We're on. We're not streaming, Bam. So we're still
on.
It'll
keep recording for an hour yet.
Okay, that's not my ad.
No, it's not my ad either. I've got mine stopped. If somebody's got an ad plan, I've got to do that speaker in the side or the pause button on it.
Yeah, I don't have mine going at all because I didn't want that coming in tonight.
Me either, because I coughed directly in.
Okay.
You know
that's
what?
Okay. We're fine.
I'd like to say something if I could.
Please.
Yes.
I hear, Cheryl, your heart for mercy and the sadness in the morning that you have for the way that people are treating each other. And I think that's important for us to understand the hurt that we're causing to each other. But I also think that we have to have two sides of love. We have to have a tough side and a soft side, and I think they're balanced that way. You know, to see the harm that's done, but also stand firm to correct that and not be defeated by seeing the hurt that's going on.
Yeah. It's standing fast in it no matter what.
Yeah.
Okay, I found it. It's Timothy 2:1-7. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and self-discipline.
Amen.
Where was that at again?
2 Timothy 1:7.
Okay. I want to read that from the King James. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. And of love, and of a sound mind. And you know how we end up having the sound mind? It's if we have the mind of Christ. If we're thinking about things the way he thinks about them, that's when we have a sound mind. Somebody's got something else playing because I got an echo going. I don't know if somebody's got a
speakerphone
on or what.
I hear that, too. It's just a big echo. I'm trying to figure out how to spell stuff.
But anyway, it's his mind. It's his thought we're supposed to have. And that's why we wait on him. Instead of speaking out things about other people. for example, did God tell you that, or did you just feel it? How would you feel if somebody said that to you? One person that comes to mind is Brock.
We never, as Christians, say somebody has a devil if we have not been shown them from God.
Well, there's a time and a place for everything as well. I think there's a time.
Absolutely.
And, you know, discernment. And the Lord is gracious. He doesn't do harm.
Yeah, exactly. He edifies.
Yes. If we let our flesh get in, we mess it up. We go ahead of God sometimes and don't wait and listen. And when we do that, we stumble all over ourselves.
But look at what we do to the other person. If they are part of Jesus, we didn't do it to them. We did it to him.
Yeah. We have to remember that we're dealing with two things here. We're dealing with the dignity and the respect and love for the person. And that has to come first and foremost before anything else that we do. We have to love them. And you know, even deliverance is an act of love. And we have to remember that it's not just about that. It's about their feelings, about their dignity as a person.
Amen. And the truth is what delivers us. It's speaking the word of God. That is what does it.
Amen.
It's the conviction of sin that they depart from those sins. Because the sin is what causes the devil to come in to begin with. So if we get rid of the sin, the devils are going to go.
Oh, amen.
They don't have a choice.
Right. Because they feed on the sin.
Yes.
It isn't always about the devil. It's about choices that we make out of our flesh as well.
Amen.
So you've got, you know, willful sin sometimes can cause a lot of problems in your life. And, you know, a lot of people want to blame it on the demonic when really it's about willful sin and not being right with God.
Yep, there it is.
That's right, yeah. It's a good point.
We need to love each other into the kingdom.
Amen. Because love covers a multitude of sins.
Most of the people that are coming into the churches, they're not finding what they're looking for in the world, or they wouldn't be coming in the door to begin with, for the most part. You know, some people come in there because they just feel it's their duty. But these new people that are coming into the church, there's so many of them now because God is drawing them. And then we come in, they're already wounded, and we beat them with a baseball bat when they walk in the door. And we look down on them for the most part. We can't do that because they don't know their heart. If God reveals something about their heart to us, that's fine. But if he don't, we need to treat them just like we want to be treated.
Well, gentleness goes a long way with that, too. I mean, we can gently, sometimes you have to firmly, you know, correct or talk to, but for the most part, if people are already hurting, they don't want to come in and get beaten up by the very people that they're trying to get the help from.
And if we are going to do it firmly in the way you're saying, we better make sure that the Lord's behind it when we do it.
Amen.
And that it's not our own pride that's lifting us above them. Because most of the time, it's our pride that's lifting us up above them. And we lower them in order to make ourselves feel bigger. And we can't do that, because if we do, we're doing that to the Lord himself. If they're part of the body, we have just hurt one of our own. If they're part of the body, they're part of us.
Amen.
So what are we going to do? Take a hatchet to our leg? That's what we're doing if we hurt one of our own. And he wants to heal up those wounds and those bruises in his body, instead of what a lot of us do to them. It's like that I told once before on the program, the Lord gave me this picture of a lamb in the ditch. And the lamb had been rolling around in the mud for a long time, and a lot of the mud was so thick that it was caked on. If we go in and we try to pull all that mud off all at once, it's going to pull. And it's going to hurt them horribly. Mm. And what they're going to run from us.
Sure.
They're not going to come back so that we can pull some more. They're going to run as far and as fast as they possibly can from that pain.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need to gently wash them with the word, and we need to be patient. Just like, look at how Jesus is patient with us. Oh, my gosh, look at the things that we've done to hurt him. And he just keeps loving us and keeps loving us and keeps drawing us. And that's the way we need to do to them instead of hurting them. He would take that lamb into his arms, and he would take a cloth, and he would gently wash a little bit of that dirt at a time so that it didn't take part of them away with it. Sorry. He would hold them, and it takes time. You know, the more sin people have on themselves, hey, look at how long it's taken from us.
Well, that's what we need to remember.
For me, I've been asking for, what's that?
That's what we need to remember. You know, we're in judgment,
yeah,
or we're, you know, in pride. We forget how far we've come or what we can do, and we're one step away from that too.
I'm dealing with this subject right now with two friends of mine that I have convinced to start going to church with me, and one of them decided that he was going to get in the other one's face and push them. And he did it with anger, and I didn't hear it, but I saw it. And so my other friend and I were doing counsel with the one, and my friend said the most brilliant thing. He said, would you expect a fourth grade student to pass a college exam?
Mm,
and the man,
yeah,
said, no, I would not. And he said, well, then why are you talking to him like he's in college when he's in fourth grade?
Mm, good.
Exactly.
And I thought that was just the best example.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, you know, I mess up all the time, and if every time I walked in church somebody pointed at me and said what I had done that week or the week prior or 20 years ago, I would never go to church again because I would be ashamed and embarrassed and whatever. But we can't do that, and it happens everywhere. And I will tell you this, I am a prophet, and God is raising people up as we speak to correct this problem that you're talking about.
Yeah, I know.
I'm one of the people. We are supposed to go to the teachers and the preachers and teach them. And so that is part of what I'm supposed to do. But I'm not there yet. I'm not where I need to be yet. So you can't take all this on by yourself. God has put a lot of warriors in place to help you. So be happy and joyful and let those people see that light shining from you and keep talking the way you're talking because you're a fabulous speaker. And I'm telling you, you will do more good than those other people can do bad.
I hear you. But I just feel the heart of the Lord in it that he's hurting for them. You know, if our kids were beat up like that, wouldn't it hurt us? Wouldn't we shed a few tears for our children?
Well, I think he's hurt and angry. I think it's not a either or, a both and. You know, he's hurting to see us act that way as well as the victims of this, but also angry, you know, because we're called to love. That's not love.
Amen. We still got Rando and Bam. They're writing to me through Skype, so if you hear that beep every once in a while, they got kicked off. Rando was the one, I guess, that was echoing, but they're back here praying for us. She's letting me know. Praise God. It's, let's see, what was the Lord hitting me with? It's just remembering that everybody out there has been wounded. Every one of us has been deceived. And so we need to just lift each other up, you know, like what we would. We don't want to be treated that way. And so we shouldn't want anybody else to be treated that way. You know, whenever we're going to say something to somebody, and I pray the Lord will do the same thing with me, is to show me before those words come out of my mouth, how would I feel if the same thing was said to me? What would it do to me? And remind us what it felt like when we first come to the Lord and the way we thought about things back then. You know, whether it was a year ago, a month ago, or 30 years ago, you know, if we can put ourselves in their shoes, that is what's going to make all the difference. If we can see things from their viewpoint and trust the Lord to have a hold of their heart or to get a hold of their heart.
And I think if we can see it through the Lord's eyes, how he sees them, we're all in a different place. And God knows what he's doing. I mean, he's the only one that knows the beginning to the end and what a person, where a person is and what a person needs. And we're there for his to be his vessels, his hands and feet. We're not there to play Holy Spirit, you know. Each person is in a different, unique place, and we have to be sensitive to that. You know, you don't give a baby meat.
Yeah.
You have to nurture them and allow them to grow, and God heals in a process of peeling off that layer of onion. And we have to have grace for people that way.
Absolutely. Well, look at Paul. You know, he said he travailed in birth until Christ be formed in you. Look at the disciples. They were there all those years with the Lord, and they still denied him, you know.
Mm-hmm.
How does that look for us? We deny him every time we deny somebody else that's part of him. We literally deny him if we deny that they're one of his, and they are.
Yeah.
You know, because we don't know their heart. Only he does. We can know their heart if he reveals it. Like Greg was saying, you know, if you're a prophet, God can tell you what's in their heart.
Mm-hmm.
But you still won't know everything that's in their heart. You only know what God reveals at the time.
Right.
Well, looks like Lee got cut off, too. Hey, gone. I guess the Lord wants to just us on here.
Here we are.
Just the three of us. Well, why don't we lift up these wounded before the Lord in prayer? Would that be all right?
Yeah.
Since Greg, you're on here and you're the male, would you do that, please?
No, I don't want to.
Okay.
That's not all my thing. You do that. You're good at that.
Okay, it's on my heart. I guess I'm elect.
You do it.
Lord Jesus, we come before you in total agreement. And we feel the hearts of these, of your children, Lord, that's been stolen, that's been beat on and wounded. Lord, they're scattered. Yeah, your word talks about them being scattered, doesn't it? Lord, they're scattered all over. Lord, I ask you to send them to people that are going to love them back into the kingdom and convict those of us, Lord, every single time we're about to wound one of yours. Lord, I ask you to put such conviction on us that you drop us to our knees if need be, but close our mouths when they need to be closed, Lord, and open our mouths when they need to be opened, and put your words in our mouths, not ours. Crucify our flesh, Lord, so we don't wound them any longer. Especially with me, Lord, please. I see the wounds, Lord, and I certainly don't want to cause any more. Watch the words in my mouth, Lord. How's that verse go? Keep the words of my mouth and may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Keep my words, Lord, from coming out if they're my words and not yours. Help us to speak the things that you put in our hearts to speak, Lord. And just draw those lambs back in that have been hurt. from false doctrine that they just knew in their hearts it was false, and so they left the church. I have heard so many people tell me, I will never, ever step foot in a church again. Lord, if they don't, and if part of your body is there, how are they ever going to connect with your body? Lord, please do it through how they call this, bring the revival. We've renamed Blog Talk Radio. Bring the revival radio.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, bring them here if nothing else. And please convict us when we go to say something that we shouldn't against somebody or do something that's going to hurt somebody. Let us see the wounds. Let us see things from your side, Lord, what we're doing. And help us to remember, Lord, that we're still growing and we're nowhere near where we need to be yet, Lord. So guide us and keep drawing us closer to you so that we can edify one another instead of hurting one another. I thank you for it, Lord. Wrap your arms round about every single wounded lamb that's out there, Lord, and just hold them and let your peace come down upon them, Lord, and speak to them and guide them, direct them where you want them to go. And when they get there, Lord, shut the mouths of the lions so they don't speak anything against them, Lord, that's going to hurt them anymore. And any of these that do get hurt, Lord, give them the strength to know that it doesn't matter what man says, but only what God says to them that really counts. Let them see the spirit behind what is being spoken, Lord, whether it's actually from you or whether it's not. And I thank you. Give us discernment, Lord, to always know the spirit of what we're doing things in. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. I love you so much, Lord. You guys want to say anything else?
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, anybody else that's listening to this program, if you are one of the wounded, I would love to talk to you anytime I am available. You can call me at 402-874-9017, or you can email me at jcoverkommersministries, that's JC as in Jesus Christ, Overcomers Ministries at yahoo.com, or you can email me at NC, as in Nebraska City, Overcomers at yahoo.com. My website is www.jcoverkommersministries.com, and I have a YouTube site, which is www.com/NC, as in Nebraska City, Overcomers. Email me. Call me. I would love to talk to you. If you have a testimony that you'd like to give on the program, contact me for that. Know that there is love for you, no matter how much wounding that you have had. There's an awful lot of false doctrine out there. A lot of people have left the churches because they know that there's false doctrine being taught.
Mm-hmm.
So don't reject Jesus because the church has rejected you. Please, it's not him that rejected you, but it was the flesh of man. So come to know Jesus, because he really does love you. But please understand that every single one of us that claim to be Christians, we still make mistakes. And I ask each and every one of you that's listening to this to please forgive us If any of us has ever hurt you in any way, I ask you to forgive us and give us another chance. Give Jesus another chance to show you the truth so that you can be made free. For ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It's not us that does it. It's Jesus, because he's the one that paid the price. He's the one that died for each and every one of us. He came here and sacrificed himself on that cross and allowed man to do what they did to him, to torture him and beat him. So he don't want us beating on each other. But he paid that price just so you'd have a chance to come and know him and know just how much love he really has for each and every one of you. And I love you, and I'd love to talk to you and show you as much as I know about Jesus. So God bless each and every one of you. Would you either one like to say anything before we go?
I think you covered it pretty well.
I think so, too.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for sticking with me.
Thank you very much for doing what you're doing. It's much needed.
Yes,
okay.
God bless
thank you.
You.
I know he does. God loves you, too. Thanks, guys.
Thanks. Have a good
Bye-bye.
Night. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You have a good night.
Every day there's a God who's been faithful to me. When my strength was all gone, when my heart had no song, still